Football 52 is brought to you by Mark Larson, State Farm Insurance.
This is head coach of the Bears, Ed Lamb, and I want to tell you about my friend, Mark Larson, with State Farm Insurance. Mark grew up in Greeley and is always supporting the Bears and our wonderful community. When it comes to local, Mark gets it. A State Farm agent since 1982, Mark's passion is to help educate individuals about their insurance need and structuring a personal price plan on home and auto insurance. You want to work with the best? Then call Mark today at 356-8700 or visit his website, marklarsoninsurance.com.
It is a Victory Wednesday. I know normally you celebrate on Monday. It's Victory Monday, but Coach and I, Coach Ed Lamb and I get together on Wednesday mornings to talk a little bit about the week that was, set the table for the upcoming weekend. Head coach Ed Lamb of the UNC Bears, they are 2-2 on the season. Very well could have been 4-0, Coach, but we won't get into that. Coach, congratulations, my friend.
Thank you for that. Yeah, it's actually...
Hey, let me get your mic turned on there.
It was a really interesting week because third straight road trip.
Yeah.
And late game in Texas. And there was an air show going on in Loveland. And so we were not able to fly back to Loveland. We had to fly out of Cheyenne and back into Cheyenne. So the university administration stepped up huge, knowing that we were looking at about a 5 a.m. arrival on Sunday, which can... drag. I've lived it before at BYU, being an independent and having the ESPN contract. We were, just as an independent, we didn't shift the late time slot around between different teams in the conference. We were the late time slot. We were that 8:15 Pacific time game all the time. And if we played on the West Coast, it was, it was 9:15 Mountain time. And so I know what it's like to get back at 4 or 5 in the morning on a Sunday and see that drag into the week of preparation. So administration really stepped up and allowed us to stay the night in Houston. And so it's interesting that you talk about kind of Celebration Wednesday because, normally we're not talking about a timeline to celebrate. But after the game I told the boys, look, here's what's going on. They knew that, but I just reminded them we're going back to the hotel. We're not here to sample the Houston nightlife.
Yeah,
we're in the hotel. We're in the rooms. Lights out. We've got a huge game. We've got the conference opener. Let's respect what the university's stepping up in terms of their resource allocation, and we're done celebrating tonight. We are prepping for next game, for homecoming, for Idaho State, starting tonight.
Yeah, conference play starting up already this weekend,
right,
Coach. It flies by. I shot you a text on Saturday after this game, and we'll get into some of the specifics of this game, but back-to-back weeks going to overtime, and you find a way to get done this time. And I said, congratulations, Coach, and you said, overcame some demons tonight.
Yes.
And that's kind of what it felt like. And I always use the phrase, I always like to cross-reference, like seeing the ball go through the hoop. And you guys beat Shadron State, so it's not like this was the first win of the season. You're 2-2. But you've had some really close games. And, going back to last year and how some of those games were pretty close, and injuries, all that, it can be tough when you're just not seeing that ball go through the hoop. When you're, okay, now you're in overtime. You controlled this game against Houston Christian. The pick sixes were tough, very difficult to overcome. But you go to overtime. And you had a blocked field goal, too. I mean, this is a wild game, Coach.
Right.
But you get into overtime, you make the stop, you hold them to a field goal, and then this time you guys punch it in. What was it like, that process going through it? And then once you know you're going to overtime, I mean, does that doubt creep in? Like, man, we've been in a lot of close games already this season. It's got to feel like doomed at this point. Like, can we just get over that finish line?
Sure. Well, to put it in a poker term, everybody can relate this to sports as well. Like, there's just a time when a team folds, when they don't believe anymore. And it's really easy to start pointing the finger at times when you're losing. And, well, this is why we're losing. This player made this mistake. there were so many opportunities in that game to fold, you know, on the road, third straight week on the road, two seemingly completely out of our control from one perspective in terms of the two losses, right? Like, oh, if the official wouldn't have overturned the call, that's a win. If we get in on first and goal from the 1 yard line with the game on the line at South Dakota, those things feel out of our control. And so I've been dedicating so much of my time when talking to the players about all the things that were into our control. Don't fall for that narrative. Don't fall for that story that, you know, we could easily be 3-0, right? Because and right now we could easily be 1-3.
Yeah.
We just went, you know, it's easy to say we could have won the South Dakota game. That was an overtime game, close as you can get. It's easy to say we could have won the Colorado State game. It came down to an official's decision, you know, in some regard. But there were so many plays that dictated the overall outcome of those games. And the Houston Christian team just took us to overtime. So, yeah, we could be 1-3. So where we sit right now, I think there's a good collective memory. There's a good experience that we can draw on in that, you know, what I've been saying for the last few weeks, every game is winnable. Every game is losable. Respect every opponent, but bow to no program. That's been our mantra.
What was the feeling like when Hank Gibbs crosses over and gets in the end zone and you guys get the dub?
Well, it was really eerie, right? Because, like, normally you do that in overtime, and we were on defense first, so we knew what we needed. We knew a touchdown would win it, and that would be a walk-off touchdown. You don't kick the PAT. It's just you cross the goal line, and the team storms the field. And then as coaches, it's like, hey, be classy, go shake hands, stop celebrating, that kind of thing. Well, that didn't happen, right? Because now we have this extended review. First of all, the officials didn't make a decision for about 20 seconds.
Yeah.
They were waiting for the teams to unpile and see where Hank was with the ball, which is what you have to do as an official. If you don't see a knee go down, if you don't see the player down, then you have to the only thing you have to judge by is the end spot of the ball. And so who knows how much Hank was, you know, scrambling around, and our guys were pushing on him and their guys were pushing back. But a good fight. Obviously, he got in. I thought he may have gotten in the play before, but those are tough moments to officiate. So then it went to replay review, as it always does. But this replay official on this night was very deliberate in all of their calls. You know, there was a call earlier in the game that I challenged, which was an obvious mistake. The ball was spotted 2 yards ahead of where it should have been. And there wasn't a play that where the runner fell forward, like got hit and went backward. And so I challenged that and won. And, of course, we have the iPads on the sidelines, which we can see. And I was telling the official on our sideline, this should not be taking this long. This is starting to smell real fishy here, you know.
Well, and you've got the stuff haunting you from a couple weeks before
that,
too.
And our team does. And so back to your question, when that touchdown was, you know, scored and then eventually signaled and then we're waiting on the replay review, it was just like, this doesn't feel like football.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like we're watching other people play a game. It feels like we're watching officials do their craft in the waning moments of all of these games. You know, we at South Dakota, we felt like Brandon Johnson got in on first down, you know, and we get that. As athletes, you get that, right? The officials are part of the game and they're doing their best. And at no time has anyone on our sideline ever felt like an official was against us, right? But at the same time, you don't want to be thinking about the officials during a game as an athlete, right? So those are some of the demons. The demons of throwing pick sixes where, you know, it's so easy for the defensive guys to say, we didn't give up a touchdown tonight.
Yeah.
You know, that was a 2020 game to go to overtime.
Yeah.
And our defense didn't give up a touchdown all night.
Well, yeah, you look at the numbers. That's if you just want to look at the box score, it's like, how is this a 3-point game? But the pick sixes, that can change everything.
The odds of statistically winning with two pick sixes on the road.
Yeah, right.
Probably in the 1%. I mean, it just can sometimes feel like everything's conspiring against the team. And so it was a character win in every way. For the defense and the defensive coaches to have the kind of character to say we're controlling what we can control. We trust our guy. You know, Eric Gibson being our guy, our quarterback, he made two big mistakes that he'll, you know, never live down, always regret and have to learn from and move forward and maintain some confidence. He did that. He put us in position at the end of the game for a game-winning field goal. We feel like we have the best kicker in the country in Jacob Willig. And so send him out there and then we make a mistake in the protection and give up some penetration and You know, they get a couple of fingers on the ball and it comes up short.
Well, and Jacob Willig too, like, you know, that guy's been through a lot already to start the season off, right. You know, and so that kind of testing his resiliency and everything that's been going on the last couple of weeks with him, but the highs and lows too, but yeah. For him to be able to mentally stay so locked in has been huge.
That's him, and really all three of our main specialists are that way. They're very just businesslike and tough-minded in their approach. To see the way that they finished off the South Dakota game there with that what we call our Mayday or fast field goal, where they run out and the clock's ticking and mm-hmm. we have no timeouts, and they just, you know, it was a short field goal, but still that is clutch. You know, if the snap is off, if there's not enough guys on the field or too many guys on the field, you know, that is a really hectic situation for a kicker who's used to going out there with plenty of time on the clock, marching off his steps, surveying the scene, making sure there's, you know, the holder generally is the one to count to 10 plus himself. There's a lot of mechanics there that in the Mayday field goal you sacrifice. And those guys are just clutch in their performances and have been all year.
Well, I know when we had Jacob in studio, you know, you just got that sense, you know, that a confident guy, but also a sense that if something bad happens, this is not going to be a guy that hangs on to that very long.
Yeah.
And you have to have that if you're a kicker.
Yeah, there are certain positions that I just repeat over and over. If you see me during a game after a player gives up, you know, misses a field goal, or in the case of a cornerback, gives up a long pass, a touchdown pass, or a quarterback throws an interception, I'm pretty much always saying the same thing. You know, checking in on them, trying to see what's in their eyes. But usually I'll say, hey, the greatest kickers in history have missed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Deion Sanders gave up plenty of touchdowns, the greatest corner in history. I'll be reminding guys of that, because sometimes it can feel like if you don't win 100% of the time, your confidence can get shattered. But that's not sports. You know, if you're winning 100% of the time, you're at the wrong level.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a great point. Well, and obviously we're talking about the kicker side of it too, but we mentioned Eric Gibson Jr. I mean, to throw a pick can be tough. To throw a pick six can be tough. To do it again, like we said, it's 26-23. You guys win, but you look at that box score, that doesn't compute. 160 passing yards, 40 rushing yards compared to your 215 passing yards and your 222 rushing yards. But I thought, again, bouncing back each time after those pick sixes, those were critical, not just for that game, but for the rest of the season, for however long this goes for him as the starting quarterback.
That's why I call it a character win. Our resolve was tested over and over in that game. And then we haven't talked about it yet, but the injuries. We had so many guys go down. We had two true freshmen on that game-winning score on the field who had not played in a game before.
Wow.
That. We had several redshirt freshmen playing there, getting their first reps. Our center on the play, Colton Patterson. So our center was Colton Patterson. It was his first game action ever with the game on the line on the road against, I said it last week, the best D-line that we faced all season. And I have a lot of respect for Colorado State's defensive line. Really, all three of the opponents we had played before were really stout in the defensive line, and it showed up. I told you for over a year now, our strength is our offensive line, and it's been tough sledding in the run game in our first three games, and then this game we finally broke through. But yeah, right tackle, Zion Salvao, true freshman out there with the game on the line. And both of those guys delivered and marched the ball down the field in the overtime period and got us into scoring position and got us down to the one and then punched it in from there.
That's a belief factor too, because obviously these guys are backups for a reason. They didn't beat out the guy in front of them. But to stay ready, that doesn't always happen. Coaches always say, next man up, next man up. That's easier said than done, because there's a reason they're number two or three or four on the depth chart. To go in an intense situation, not to get a feel for the game a little bit, as this, because a game is an event, and so you're studying up on your matchup during this process too. You're learning about guy, even though you've had your film study and practice, you're still learning about what it's like in the game, and then you come in for these kind of like, it's do or die right now, and you haven't had experience, but good luck.
Right. Yeah. It can be a tremendous mental challenge for those guys. And sometimes for an athlete, it can be it can free them up a little bit to come off the bench. You hear about that a lot in basketball, you know, that a guy is a more effective sixth man than he is a starter. I think there's a mental aspect of a little less pressure, a little bit more you know, what can I add as a bonus to this team? And so we'll find out some new challenges going forward because we are pretty banged up. We didn't lose anybody for the season, but we've got a lot of guys doubtful for Saturday, and it's going to make a major impact on the game one way or the other. Can we step forward at some positions and really play winning football against a very good Idaho State team? Idaho State opened three straight road games and then a bye and then what I would call, you know, a scrimmage. I mean, they completely controlled everything against Lincoln, offense, defense, and kicking game. Beat them 90-0 last week, so, and got every player on their roster into the football game. So, you know, Idaho State's in a coming back to a position of health after three tough road trips to start the season. We've kind of played the opposite. We played our Division II opponent early, and they were very good.
Yeah.
And I, you know, even though they lost the following week after they played us, I thought they might have got a little overconfident because they played the Bears so tough.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
But they're all of a sudden on a roll. They went down and beat Colorado School of Mines, which was a ranked team, always the top of the RMAC. So I think Chadron State has a great opportunity to win the RMAC. Of course, we're rooting for them, as we do anyone on our schedule, especially the non-conference that we play, because it just makes us a tougher schedule. But yeah, now, you know, then we play three straight road games, and we're kind of feeling some of the physical test of that right now, and we've got to overcome it.
It's amazing to me the story of a season, you know, how each week it's awesome to be able to sit down and do this, but then when you, like, we've already gone 4 weeks into this thing, and there's a lot of storyline material around this UNC Bears team, Coach. It's, you know, you've obviously with what happened, you know, Chadron State, you get that win, get an injury. Colorado State, we've talked about that. South Dakota State, crazy. And then you get the other win in overtime. I mean, you're playing extra football, too. I mean, it's not a whole lot of extra football, but it's still extra football going into these overtimes. Idaho State is going to be a very tough opponent. You know, look at what they did. They played two Mountain West guys this year, and they had UNLV, who's undefeated. They have their sights set on winning the Mountain West Conference. They took him to the ropes, or had him on the ropes. UNLV comes back and wins that game. This is going to be a very interesting battle right off the bat for it to start conference play.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're a confident football team. It just judging by the results, we're playing a Mountain West Conference football team. They beat a really hot – or not beat, but played within – had a fourth-quarter lead on both UNLV and New Mexico. And they're not really two hotter teams right now in the Mountain West than UNLV and New Mexico.
100%.
And obviously did both of those on the road. Little bit of a blip there on their record when they went to Southern Utah, but also their quarterback got hurt at UNLV and was trying to play through an injury. And you know, he doesn't wear a knee brace, and then all of a sudden he was wearing this knee brace hobbling around against Southern Utah. I think it was probably a meniscus. He was back for them last week, so the fact that he got a surgery and was back in about 2 weeks tells me he's a meniscus, arthroscopic meniscus repair, which guys get back normally in 10 to 20 days. So the timeline for that looks about right. But he's one of the premier quarterbacks in the country, led the nation in total offense 2 years ago.
Well, and you talk about the knee stuff, for a quarterback that can run around, can move, you know, obviously that can really hurt your game. So he's getting kind of back at it too. So that's those guys present so many different challenges.
That's
when
right.
You know they can sit back there and throw it, but they're just as comfortable taking off and making something happen with their feet.
That's right. We got to keep them bottled up.
I want to just to briefly go back too. I want to talk about Matthias Price. How's he doing, Coach? Because I know he was battling injuries. I mean, he looked like he's feeling pretty good. 27 carries. My favorite style of football. And I like, you know, high flying, punt returns, magical stuff. It's all fun. I love when you can give it to a workhorse running back and he can just grind it out and pick up big yard after big yard. I don't know why, Coach, but that's appealing to me. So Matthias Price, giving him 27 carries, I believe, for 126 yards and the touchdown, too. Man, what a luxury that is when you give the guy the rock like that, especially when he's kind of been battling. Yep. Some injuries.
Well, and we didn't have him down the stretch. We, you know, in overtime, he was out. And so we've got true freshman Brandon Lambert. We've got Kyarius Boone. If I would have told you going into the game, yeah, the game's going to come down to Brandon Lambert and Kyarius Boone. Those guys haven't even gotten any carries all season long, much less played. And here they are. You know, Kyarius got us down to the 1 yard line in overtime, and Brandon Lambert was in there on the final couple of plays. So, Matthias, he's worked for it. We recruited him for it. I like to have big backs. Not that they all have to be big backs, but I like somebody who makes the other team tackle. It has a collective wear and tear on the opponent over the course of the game that can open up other running styles. I mean, when Kyarius Boone came in, Kyarius is that, you know, if you want a thunder and lightning, like in terms of the way they look, the way they run, their habits, everything, you could not get more thunder and lightning than Matthias Price at 220 pounds, and then Kyarius Boone, who's a water bug, right? And I don't know what he is, 5'7", maybe? 5'7", and 180 pounds, very strong, one of the strongest players on our team and one of the strongest players in the country at any level, pound for pound. Kyarius really has worked hard.
Did a lot with his carries, too.
Did a lot with his carries, absolutely. Yeah, we kind of brought him in kind of a small role. He was running some draw plays for us, and then and that was just to kind of get him his first action. And as a new player, he's still kind of learning some of the nuances of the offense. And then all of a sudden it got to the point where, hey, you're not just coming in to run the draw. You've got to work the whole offense here. Be ready and step up. And he did. And that's why I keep calling this a character win. Character by the defense to just keep playing regardless of the situation. It is so difficult to set goals. You know, like our defense right now is the number one points allowed defense in the conference, right? And that's with giving up two scores by the offense in this last game. And our players are aware of that. And as coaches, you talk about, hey, we're being stingy on defense. We're not giving up a lot of points. Let's keep that going. And then you see the other team, you're not even out there, and the other team's running touchdowns. And it can get very, very mentally trying. So the character of the defense to just keep playing and believe in our guys on offense and realize, hey, I think here's where our coaches do a good job, and I've preached it too. One of the reasons we've been a good scoring defense is because our offense has been balanced.
Yeah.
You know, like there are some teams that just want to throw the ball all the time, all over the place, and then fire the defensive coordinator. You know, that's not what we're doing here. You know what I mean? We're not pointing fingers at the defense when we lose just because we scored 30 or 40 points. This is a team – I believe that this is a team game that's won in all three phases, working complementary. We call that complementary football. And, that doesn't exist everywhere. And so our defensive guys, I think, are very aware of the fact that, well, we've been a little stingy on defense in terms of points allowed, but we've also benefited from our offense insisting on running the ball and improving the running game instead of giving up on it.
Yeah, you guys have controlled most of the games. You have really controlled that clock where, I mean, again, South Dakota, Colorado State, big-time favorites in those games, and your ability to control that clock and slow this thing down gave you opportunities, especially in that South Dakota game, gave you so many opportunities to win that game. I want to go I will ask you about injuries too, but just since we're on the Matthias Price too, getting that heavy workload, how's he feeling? I mean, are you expecting him this weekend, coach, or can we answer that just yet?
You know, I think at this point, it's just we're hopeful. You know, we've got a lot of guys out, and Saturday will tell the tale, but they're all doubtful to hopeful, you know, and the offensive, I'll just say it this way, the offensive line is banged up. The running back room is banged up. Those are going to be real challenges for us. We're missing Braden Monroe, one of our most productive receivers. We didn't even have him on the trip last week. And so he's doubtful to hopeful. I don't even know how to define some of those words in terms of human beings on a Wednesday morning, whether they're going to play on Saturday, the spectrum of doubtful to hopeful, I don't know. But they're not out and they're not in.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. Our practice yesterday, we are low on healthy bodies.
And again, we do this on a Wednesday, so you know, you'll typically know a little bit more as we progress through the week. All right, Coach, I look at you guys for the last couple of years, and you mentioned, like, we talk about Matthias Price, but then you have other guys that can step in on the receiving side of the ball. Braden Monroe's out. Obviously, Carver did his thing, but you have a bunch of other guys that are spread out. I always say this, and it's a very positive thing. With Coach Lamb, I mean, this Bears offense, I have no idea from week to week who's going to be. We do a funny thing on the Rocky Mountain College kickoff that we do where we pick who we believe is going to be the star performer of the week between UNC, CSU, CU, Wyoming, Air Force. And I pick a lot of Bears. I've picked Carver Cheeks a couple of times. But I always joke and I say, Coach Lamb's offense is the one. I have no clue who that guy is going to be on a weekly basis, who's going to be that dude. That's part of that balance, though. We talk about balance between the run and the pass, but there's also a balance with guys, with productivity. There's a lot of guys that can step up. That is very positive. You don't have just one dude any given Saturday or every Saturday is going to take off. You have a lot of guys that any given Saturday can produce. Talk to me a little bit about that, Coach. That philosophy, or does that just kind of happen?
No. Our philosophy, you know, dating back a long way with Coach Walterscheid and I is find our guys and feed our guys. You know, and I had a coach once, an opposing coach back when North Dakota was in the Big Sky. He said something that I didn't realize. He was talking to the media about SUU when I was the head coach there and our offense, and he said they know who their guys are and they feed them. Mm-hmm. And that's something we need to do a better job of. And I didn't realize it, but it is my philosophy is find the guys. But you know, you got to have some fortune, and you got to have some Ironman type physical outcomes, right? Where a guy just stays available over and over and over. And we have not had that luxury. We've had so many guys like playing through injury, and so when somebody's playing through injury, sometimes that line between the starter and the backup gets real thin because the backup, you know, like these guys are all good football players. And so that's where I think you've seen some of that is, the ability to keep some of our guys healthy. Personally, I think our strength staff does a tremendous job. I think we're built. I think we work hard in the weight room and we're strong. I think we're injury resistant. But I also think as the program has been growing, we have had a lot of young players step into huge roles. And they redline. They fight for the Bears. They fight for each other, and that can be a difficult place to be when you don't have a lot of depth, and guys are redlining and fighting to win against teams that are further along into this process of recruiting a whole roster of capable players. But we're getting there fast, and I think last week was a great opportunity to show that as we have just more and more guys coming off the bench and still coming away with a win after. So many things went wrong in terms of, injuries and on-field results, the pick sixes, et cetera. There were the blocked field goal. There were so many things that went wrong, and yet we had guys playing some of their first meaningful minutes that delivered a victory.
Yeah, and that just speaks to the buy-in, the belief, the character of this team right now. We talked last week a lot about we would love to get a win pretty darn soon here because guys were close, but then you start getting, hey, why aren't we pulling this off? Well, based on this game, this was a resilient effort to overcome those two pick sixes, and it's not putting a lot of the spotlight on Eric Gibson Jr. because I thought given the situation he's been thrown into, he's done pretty darn good throughout this season so far. But this group steps up. Defensively, this group has stepped up. Brennan Acosta, Ezra Ekubon, those guys have just, and again, this defensive unit has been sensational. And I didn't even, a lot of times we're not even mentioning one of those big stars for you guys, Cam Chapa. There's a lot of other guys. This defense is stacked, Coach.
Yes, they are. And they play hard together. And we have, for the most part, been able to stay out of a lot of the injury bug that's kind of plagued our offense here with our offensive line, running backs, receivers. The defense is playing well. They're playing as one. They're playing it with a unit. The coaches are doing a great job over there of helping lead a mental mindset. But yeah, one of the demons that I thought we were overcome in that game down there. I've been telling you since day one, and anybody who would listen, but I've been just selling it outright in the media. I believe in the Colorado kids. Yeah. I believe that our one path to success is Colorado high school recruiting as our foundation and player development. And here we go down into one of the hottest talent beds in the country in Houston Christian.
Yep.
And I told you all week they've got athletes. I mean, that was an athletic, big, strong team that we just faced. And here we are going deep onto the bench with with Colorado true freshmen and Colorado redshirt freshmen coming into the game and delivering a win in a hostile environment in a game that shouldn't have been close, but we found out, you know, this late, it was a game that was on the line. And so I'm really proud of the effort that those guys have put in and the belief they had in themselves. And just frankly, I'm encouraged because, you know, a lot of the way we've set up this program is a plan and a design, but we still want to see it work.
Yeah.
And to see it starting to work is tremendously encouraging.
And defensively, you know, I was glancing at, you already said it, you know, your defense right now, and I know we're getting into Big Sky play, but just as far as rankings at this stage, you have one of the top defenses in almost, maybe even number one in almost every category, at least number one or two, number two. Quarterbacks are not having a great time against you guys through the air. Your defensive backs, your pressure. Talk to us about that, Coach, because it seems like this unit, between, you know, we mentioned Cam Chapa, but safeties, defensive backs, seems like a really, you guys are allowing 157 passing yards per game. That is astonishing to me, Coach.
Yeah, and every game's new, and every week is new. So we'll find out this week against what's one of the best passing offenses.
Yeah, big test.
Offenses in the way that it's designed, philosophically, the way that they call plays. Coach Hawkins calls the plays himself, the head coach, and does a really good job at that. He came in and flipped that program from, I don't know, was it 0 wins or 1 win, like immediately, with a lot of transfers, a good mix of Idaho kids as well. Some good retention, and they knew who they were from day one, where we, I think, in many respects, are still trying to figure out what our best plan is offensively. Defensively, we had to recruit to what we wanted to be, which was always we wanted to be foundationally man coverage. And can't sit in man coverage to the point where other teams are picking on you, but you have to have the players to play man coverage.
Yeah.
There are a lot of very good football teams out there who don't recruit and aspire to be a man coverage team. But we have played – we knew going into the game we were going to face one of the best quarterbacks in Division II football, Chatham State's quarterback. The Bauman kid for South Dakota was a preseason All-American quarterback. Had a tremendous year last year, I think 19 touchdowns to 2 interceptions passing or something like that. And then of course, Fowler Nicolosi at Colorado State, our guys read about him all the time, right? Like he's in the same local media market, and he's had so many great seasons, 2 great seasons behind him. And so, yeah, we had going into the season, we felt like some of our best challenges against passing quarterbacks would be early in the season. So far, so good. But now we got another one, another preseason All-American coming in Jordan Cook, preseason, you know, one of the few returning starting quarterbacks in this conference.
Yeah, big test for sure. And you mentioned, Cody Hawkins, head coach for Idaho State, his dad, of course, former Buffs coach, Dan Hawkins. So it's a football family, a lot of an interesting pedigree there as well. But you mentioned it. This is a guy that's really helped that program out. He has really turned that program upside down.
Yep, knew exactly what he wanted to do and created an identity and a culture from day one. And really impressive job that they've done there. It's a great test for us in terms of where we are at. We deliberately chose to do it, I think, in a little bit different ways. The pass first or air raid offense can be somewhat of an equalizer, as can kind of the triple option. And then everything in between that takes a little bit of time and development, to say we're going to be big enough and physical enough to run the ball, but we're going to be fast enough and skilled enough to throw the ball as well. And we're going to be this balanced offense. It's a great thing to aspire to, but it can take more time. Mm-hmm. And it's probably the one that most often, you know, that's the path that maybe leads to the most usually championship teams are pretty balanced on offense, but also there's a lot of balanced offenses that are, you know, that coaches are getting like, oh, programs are not successful because it's such a difficult standard to attain. You know, if you're looking to get 5 or 6 wins, and that's kind of your early standard, I think it can be a lot easier to really sell out in one direction or the other and get some momentum going for your program. And I've seen Coach Hawkins and Idaho State do that, where right away they were very competitive because they can outscore anybody in our league on any given day.
What is the approach for an offensive style like that too, Coach? I mean, is it be aggressive, blitz the heck out of the guy, out of that quarterback, or is it kind of sit back and wait? I mean, talk to us without giving the game plan away, but just I'm always curious, like, how you attack, because if you send too many guys, but you got so many dudes running around, you got a lot of one-on-one situations going on.
Well, in this case, it's we cannot what we learned 2 years ago when we played against them. You cannot sit in a defense even two snaps in a row. You have to change it up because the quarterback and the play caller are so good at identifying what you're doing. And that's a little bit of a departure for me because I have this stubborn attitude where I say, we want to go out there in one defense, tell them exactly what we're doing. We want to go out there with one offensive play, tell them exactly what we're doing. Don't worry about self-scouting and stuff like that. That's kind of more where I want to be. It's a good thing my coordinators are a lot smarter than me, and they know that they have to, you know, you got to present somewhat of a moving target on offense and defense. And Idaho State is probably the best in our league at quickly identifying what your game plan is and then attacking those leverages that you're presenting to them. And they almost completely flipped their passing game philosophy the first year that we played them two seasons ago. We started out pretty hot and got a turnover on defense. We're really playing some really good man-to-man coverage, and then all of a sudden they kind of flipped their philosophy and attacked some leverages in a different style and put a real test on us. And then our offense kind of stalled out, and we had, I don't know if you remember, but we had an RPO go 80 yards. But on the 79th yard, we got stripped from behind. And that was a backbreaker because I think that was to take a two-score lead in the second quarter. And so Idaho State from day one, like I said, when Coach Hawkins got there, they played with a lot of character, a lot of effort, a lot of belief. Believe in who they are. I think they've got resiliency on defense. New defensive coordinator this year who's really brought a lot of they're still playing at a very high effort level, but they're also a little more traditional than they have been on defense in the past. And so I think it's not so easy to kind of point the finger at the defense and say, well, this, you know, crazy system of defense is costing us games. They've got a real belief right now on offense and defense. Special teams are solid. They're playing very well as a whole team.
Well, and having a quarterback that's been there a couple of years too, I mean, that's a big deal, having a guy that's been in that system for a while.
Right. Yes. He's capable. He makes all the throws.
Yeah.
And they've got receivers that can go up and get it. They've got a nice mix of some taller receivers. They have speedier inline receivers. They have change of direction guys, like smaller, quicker guys. And the quarterback really knows how to find them all. They're like I said, they're coming back from some injuries and appeared to be at full strength or near full strength last week. Got their quarterback back. Got their top running back back. That all played some meaningful minutes here last week in their game. So it's as big a challenge. You know, there are some other games around the league that the media might be paying more attention to league-wide. For us in Idaho State, this is a championship game. The winner of this game is in the lead for the conference championship. And I think there's a lot of mutual respect both ways. And, you know, us in Idaho State are going, you know, why if there's teams out there that are ranked with one and two one and two victories, why not Idaho State? Why not UNC? Well, it's all because of years past.
Yeah.
And this is a new year and a new opportunity for both teams. Huge game.
I think if you're out of market of UNC and Idaho State and you're covering the Big Sky, you're looking at both of these teams saying, okay, Idaho State battled with New Mexico, battled with UNLV. UNC battled with CSU in South Dakota. You guys were picked where you were picked. Idaho State was kind of toward the bottom too. Mm-hmm. And so far to start the season, I think both teams look to be a lot better than what the media poll, even the coaches poll, had to say.
Yep, and things can flip from here.
Yep.
You know,
sure.
Any team can get hot, and any team can kind of turn around a promising start. And so that's what we're focused on, is just it's a one game. It sounds cliche, but it's a one game season every week.
Yeah, I have one more question on like the X's and O's side of it. When you're talking about this style of offense and defensively, what you're doing. How much pre-snap movement, when you start seeing guys like, okay, they think they recognize what defense you're in, are you changing? I used to watch Peyton Manning. You know, Peyton Manning would go up and he would take the entire – I used to hate it when he was with the Colts, loved it when he was with the Broncos. He'd take the entire play clock to audible, maybe fake audible, think about audibling, not actually audible. And I always remember the best defenses, the best defensive coordinators came away and said, don't change when he's changing. Just stay the course because he's going to do a bunch of crazy things. You're confident in what you have. Stay with it. Take me through that approach a little bit, Coach.
Yeah. How old the Princess Bride movie?
Yeah.
It's pretty old, but the Sicilian logic is what you can get into there.
You know, yes.
You're outthinking yourself.
Oh, that's a great, great comparison there.
And so we don't want to do that. We don't want to outthink ourselves. But good offenses that have trust in their quarterback's ability, and now with the coach to player communication, that's also opened up some new avenues, which for a long time in college football we didn't have. But right now, our offensive coordinator can continue to talk to our quarterback. For a large percentage of that play clock, that running play clock, and so that we can help guide the players and give them reminders, guide the quarterback, give them reminders, and we can do the same on defense. Hey, if you see this, look for this adjustment. And then all of a sudden it kind of cuts off, but we know when it cuts off. Idaho State does a tremendous job of that. They change the play at the line with their coaches, and they change the play at the line with their quarterback. We do a lot of that, but both teams as well. When you're into that game, and probably us and them are probably doing that at the top of the Big Sky in terms of how often we do it. They'll see that. I'm not giving away any secrets. They'll see that on film. Our quarterback's up at the line of scrimmage with a healthy cadence, and they don't do it so much with cadence, but they do it with some other mechanisms, and they're very good at it. But yeah, the plays are changing offensively and defensively, and any team that does that also has a lot of fake changes. And so, yeah, the idea that what could look like to the fans, Peyton Manning's up there changing the call. He might just be talking nonsense.
Yeah, yeah.
And not changing anything, just getting the defense to go to their second or third option. And that's another way of manipulating that pre-snap.
Well, and you also leave room for confusion too. If they think you're audibling and changing the play, they start changing the play. Well, certain guy might not get I didn't get the signal. And then you got the more you do that, the more you open up, I believe, for mistakes. So that's why sometimes you would hear those DCs say, "Stay with what we got. You know, if we're going to get burnt, we're going to get burnt, but we don't. He's going to try to throw his Jedi mind tricks at us and confuse us."
So I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
That's a great note, too. All right, Coach. Injury updates. I know you said you really can't on Wednesday. There's not much. But you guys are banged up. We talked a little bit about Braden Monroe, Matthias Price, guys on this offensive line. You said most of those guys that you mentioned and the guys that were banged up and knocked out of that game last week they're not out, but they're not necessarily in. Which I guess is better than not for sure being out at this point.
It's a great way to say it. And, just the way that we have built this program and what I would say comes down to my philosophy, because I've got to be strong on this a lot, is you don't practice, you don't play.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that we had a completely different team on the practice field yesterday than the team that started the Houston Christian game. So I'm really concerned. We have a standard for the number of reps and days that somebody's got to practice. In my experience, if you let that standard slip, then all of a sudden everybody's got minor injuries and they're trying to practice one day a week.
That's a great point.
And we're not doing that. We're not doing that. It's disrespectful to the backup. And I think every college football player had their time as a star, whether that's high school or whatever. But for me, I finished my career as a rotating starter, and I spent a lot of my college career as a backup. And I won't disrespect those backups who are out there waiting for their opportunity, prepared for their opportunity. If the starter can't practice, then the backup is going to get the call.
I love to hear that too, because I was just going to ask, is there that mindset of, he's pretty banged up, let's give him the week. But you don't want to set that precedent of guys coming to you saying, hey, I just need an extra day. But then you got the backups busting their tail all week and nothing to show for it. That can be demoralizing a little bit for the backups.
Yeah. How many times have I said to you, through just tremendously frustrating stretches of losing, right? unprecedented losing that I've done here at UNC. For a place that's lost a lot, I've lost the most, you know. Mm. And I've continued to tell you over and over, I did not come here to build a 6-6 football team. And that's there's no faster way to build an average football team than to start letting the players get away, the star players, quote unquote, get away with practicing once a week, twice a week.
Yeah. You know,
it's got to be not that I'm accusing any of our guys of doing that, right? It just becomes part of the culture where, hey, you're a really good player. We got to have you ready for Saturday, buddy. You hear coaches talking about it. You hear players doing it. And then week after week after week, you've got this player that's you know, riding one practice into the game. It can work for a while. And you've got your, quote unquote, best players out there. But pretty soon you're playing against a team, you know, whose their players have got 50, 60 practices during the season under their belt, and your players got 8. And it can make a big difference down the stretch, and we are building this thing for long-term success.
Well, you needed those backups to come in and help you win a game.
And case in point.
Keeping them locked in all week instead of just so-and-so, whatever, he doesn't even have to practice, he's coming out, and then they call on you to come in, and you're, yeah, I'm excited for the opportunity, but I've been checked out, honestly, because I'm pissed off because I've been working all week. And so there you go. I mean, that philosophy showed itself on Saturday against Houston Christian.
Yeah, last thing we're going to do is have, you know, a backup take all the reps during the practice week, get supplanted by the starter the day before the game, and then if the starter goes down, say, hey.
Now we need you.
We got a lot of confidence in you, buddy. Go in there and win the game.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Coach, 2-2 on the season, getting set for a big sky play starting this weekend against Idaho State. And I know you have bigger goals, but is there a small part of your brain, because every, you know, get better than last year. Every year, you're already over that win total from last year. Is there a part of your brain that's like, that's a relief at all? Or when you're like, man, we're not coming here to win 6 games, that means nothing to you?
You know, outside of obviously like the birth of my kids and some tremendous family memories that I have, my proudest moments in life, you know, have been things that we've accomplished as a team, things that the teams that I've coached have accomplished, and the most embarrassing too. Mm. And our record here and our stretch of futility has been such a trying test for me, my family, anybody who's supporting and believing in me. So, yes, it feels good to see progress in the win column, but you know, what's that got to do with this week?
Yeah, doesn't do
nothing.
Anything. Yeah, it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
Moving on. Idaho State coming up this weekend. Coach, always appreciate your insight and, you know, and you taking us into some of these games. Because, again, we watch the games. We don't always know when a certain player is banged up, when a certain player is out, and what that looks like. So I appreciate you going there with us, as always.
You bet.
All right, my friend, good luck this weekend. And we'll catch up with you next week for Football 52. Find our podcast on Apple, Spotify, or 1310kfk.com.
Football 52 is brought to you by Mark Larson, State Farm Insurance.
This is head coach of the Bears, Ed Lamb, and I want to tell you about my friend, Mark Larson, with State Farm Insurance. Mark grew up in Greeley and is always supporting the Bears and our wonderful community. When it comes to local, Mark gets it. A State Farm agent since 1982, Mark's passion is to help educate individuals about their insurance need and structuring a personal price plan on home and auto insurance. You want to work with the best? Then call Mark today at 356-8700 or visit his website, marklarsoninsurance.com.
Northern Colorado football is geared up and ready for their next home game. Be a part of the action and help the Bears defend the dead. Help UNC celebrate homecoming on September 27th when they take on Idaho State. Purchase tickets online by visiting uncbears.com/tickets. Remember, this is Bear Country. Go Bears!